Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Behind the Counter. I'm your host, Rich Stamboli, and with me, as always, is a man who has the death sentence on 12 systems, Jonathan Adler.
It's true.
I've worked my way down to 11.
It's true.
It's true. It's me. It's me. I have 12.
What's up, everybody?
What's up with you?
I didn't say what's up to you.
Either. I know.
I was talking to the audience. We got a full chat room today.
Bitchin' Orange Truth has Goldfinger in a remake. Yes.
What is
Thank Coach Dallas.
What's going on?
Not much, man.
Yeah.
Are you watching True Detective?
Oh, am I ever. Mm. My wife is in love with that show, and she's also in love with the McConaughey.
Wasn't she an anti-McConaughey for many years? Both of you were for many years.
No, I've always liked McConaughey. She never saw the
appeal.
The sexual appeal of Matthew McConaughey until
he became a skeleton.
Yeah, until he's like a ghoul. He's like
Well, he gets healthier progressively. Mm-hmm. You can tell they shot the first one like a while ago.
Yeah.
And then like he started eating again. During the second episode.
Yeah, but like, yeah, she loves it. I love it too. The show is phenomenal.
Are you hoping it gets like very Cthulhu?
I'm super hoping it gets very Cthulhu. It makes me want to read the Yellow King or whatever. Like,
you read it before?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Whatever all that stuff is.
Yeah.
I really like the show. I know this is a show dedicated to comic books, but if anybody out there has not seen True Detective yet, do yourself a favor. Go rent it from HBO. It's on VHS.
Go to your local Blockbuster. Put a note in the wall.
Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video.
Put the tape back into the wall when you're done with it. I always was afraid that there was going to be like fingers coming out of it.
I was always afraid that when you put it away, it was just going to go on the floor and it would just be unaccounted for. It's like, ah.
That's how I got away with a lot of late charges. I'd be like, I put it in the thing. It probably.
Me too.
You know,
I got lost.
They probably screwed it up. Did you make any money on the settlement?
What settlement?
The Blockbuster settlement for the lead charges.
No, I didn't get dime.
I made like $64.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because I had like, I racked up like hundreds of dollars of late fees and just never paid them because I was like, this is ridiculous. It's stupid. I got, for guess what movie?
Which one?
Basketball. Why was, and like
it's
my,
it's always a piece of garbage.
My argument was like, why would I keep this movie? Like I had to steal this movie from you. Yeah.
I did at one point get one over them, and I switched the game for a game.
Oh, yeah?
And I think I put like a piece of garbage in there, and I got like Tekken 2 or something.
It's a piece of old linguine in the box. How am I supposed to rewind this?
What do I do with this?
Yeah, True Detective's awesome, man. Yeah, so like all day, like the wife sends me stuff about like True Detective and pictures of McConaughey's abs.
Yeah. Good shit, man. Two of them together is amazing. I think mm-hmm. It's been the year of McConaughey. I think 2014 is going to be the year of McConaughey.
Yeah.
It's really enjoyable. It's a really well done, good looking show. How about that that fourth episode with the tracking shot?
Oh my God. Ridiculous.
Awesome. Yeah. Ginger.
That was one of the best moments I've ever seen on any cop show ever of all time.
People crapped all over it. It's like, oh, they've been doing tracking shots forever. Like, yeah.
But not like this.
Yeah, but it also it doesn't matter. It's still in a great moment in a really awesome show.
Yeah, it's also because the show has a leg up in the respect that it's two major celebrities on an HBO show,
mm-hmm.
extremely well written, extremely well directed, and it's just a beautifully made program. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a lot of art that goes into True Detective.
Yeah.
You know, for an hour long show, you kind of want it to be longer, and you always get that, like, at the end of the episode on Sunday, you have that dumb moment where you're like, oh, he's the true detective because he's still following the murder and he's his own undercover. He's undercover as a bum.
So meta.
Super meta.
It's awesome. Awesome, awesome show.
It's really good. I can't recommend it enough. Lots going on in the comic book world.
Is there?
Yeah. I did my research today. I followed up on all the stuff that we talked about before, and it's pretty interesting, man.
Which part?
I kind of want to start out with, because this is something that we have talked about ever since we've known each other. The spoiler issue when it comes to comic books.
Oh yes.
So
I thought you'd talk about. I thought you'd say characters of Lost in our favorite comic movies.
No, no. Hey, Doctor Strange, Josh Holloway, bro.
Oh boy.
But the subject of spoilers has been a much heated debate between the both of us in our friendship about how, like, you want to be spoiled. You want to know what happens. You want it. And you have no problem with it either. But
I got a little bit of problem with it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But comparatively, like, out of 100%, you have maybe, like, what, like a 40% problem with spoilers?
In term, like, do you, in what way do you mean?
Let's take the headline topic of your rant between Dan Slott and Rich Johnson from Bleeding Cool, Dan Slott, the writer of Spider-Man, where he said, basically, like, how dare you reveal the end of Batman 28 for...
These people trying to sell this book.
People are trying to sell this book, and also it's a character that was written out of history that the company denied existed that shows up at the last page of the issue.
Yeah.
Why would you spoil that for people who have not even got their friggin' comics yet, bro?
Yeah.
You know?
But they're all, but the part of the argument also is that the dude's working on, you know, UK time.
Right.
So it is working a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with a good chunk of what Dan Slott mm-hmm. writes. I mean, because I don't engage in spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a book I do not read. Like, if, like, Bleeding Cool puts on something and says, oh, you know, they reveal mm-hmm. that Tim Drake in Teen Titans is a robot. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll read that headline. But I do think they do go overboard with a lot of the stuff that mm-hmm. they are showing. I don't think the last page thing could have is that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think the way that he puts it, like, he's, you know, and part of Rich Johnson's defense was that he would, you have to go through multiple hoops to get this spoiler.
Right.
And I read Bleeding Cool every single day, and this, the headlines are usually added later on because they're too spoilery.
Right. But again, like, is that something that you personally had a problem with?
Sometimes.
The Batman spoiler.
No, not that one. I don't give crap about that.
So you don't care about that, but let's say, you know, they reveal that Aunt May was really Dr. Octopus the whole time. Something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, so for the major stuff, you don't want to be spoiled.
No, but usually it's, but the side part of that, which is part of Rich Johnson's argument, was that Marvel and DC usually go out of their way to spoil it to USA Today the day that the book comes out.
Yeah.
Like, we found out, like, that, I always remember, like, we were working in the store and they revealed Captain America was going to die the night before the book came out.
Yeah.
It was chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why, man? I'm a huge fan of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I love the story. Why do I need to know this?
Well, that does that. And also, I remember when that happened and, like, everybody and their mother showed up, like, the next day and we sold out immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and then they did the second print of that and that sold out immediately too. But, like, for a good couple of months, both of us were just like stay home people. Like, this is news, but it should have been, like, it kept a little tighter than what happened, you know? I don't like spoilers, but I'm not trying to defend Rich Johnson, but like you said, when you go to the site, I avoid shit altogether, me personally, like on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, you know?
I try.
And, you know, I'll follow up with stuff after I've pretty much read, like, what I wanted to read. But, and again, not in Rich Johnson's defense, but yeah, you know what? You are wading through spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler. The one thing that kind of sucks about it, which a lot of people have posted about, is the fact that once somebody breaks the news, it gets reposted everywhere. Those people do not post spoiler alert. They don't lead you through a maze of well-weaved words
Mm-mm.
that lead to a definitive, like, you know what? There's no turning back now after I've read a page of text, you know? Instead of that, you get somebody saying, like,
OMG.
OMG, the news broke, blah, 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 blah. Bruce Wayne is...
turkey.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne's turkey. That's it. The country or the fowl. Either one. So it kind of, like, it's, and I see where, and, like, but a lot of the stuff that Slott was saying just seems like he's so frustrated because he's a dude who's also been getting, like, dumped on from a lot of fans about his Spider-Man run.
Which I don't get.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm trying to make the practice of not listening to...
Who's that?
I don't know. The turkey. Not reading the comments on especially Bleeding Cool.
Yeah.
Like, the fan base is really the snarkiest of snark.
Yeah.
But I... In an ideal world, how would you want the internet to function at this point with spoilers? In terms of the comics or anything else,
in like a fantasy land, basically,
in fantasy land, but you still have, like, the internet. You still have the idea of news, and you do have someone. There's always going to be some type of dirt sheet. Whatever you're involved in, you're going to have some type of dirt sheet.
In an ideal world, and I'm creating this complete fantasy. Is this right?
Yes.
Whoever, let's say, it's Bleeding Cool, right? Bleeding Cool is the go-to source for it. you have to vet whoever wants to repost that article, mm-hmm. and you have to wait. You have to give it like 24 hours before you can repost it. Like, I'll break the spoiler and I'll do it my way because I'm telling you there's spoilers, but mm-hmm. you have to ask me to be able to, you know.
So do you think the problem is beyond the realm of being cool? You think it's more in the fan base reacting to that said spoiler?
Yeah, I think it's more in the fan base, you know, because, but like, again, like Rich Johnson said, he was like, these spoilers are basically for guys who don't read this book, you know, like you kind of want to keep up with what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's it, which I don't believe. Yeah. That, you know,
I think most of the people that are on Bleeding Cool are reading pretty much all the books that they're covering.
Yeah.
They're reading Judge Dredd. They're reading Batman. They're reading Superior Spider-Man.
Well, they have to read Judge Dredd.
I know.
You know.
Yeah.
British hero.
Yeah.
Buddy.
But I don't know. Like, I, unfortunately, I'm on Tumblr a lot, and that's a place where I can't go anywhere near whenever there's like mm-hmm. a big, you know, pop culture thing. If it's Sherlock, the TV show, or it's a comic book involving teenager, just gonna be all over Tumblr in terms of spoilers.
Oh yeah, which is insane too, man. Like how Tumblr is basically like your teen post place.
It's so easy, that's why.
And it sounds so dirty saying that as like an adult male. Like, oh, that's where all the teens go.
It's where all the teens are.
That's where the teens are.
They're trading Archies and talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
They're posting their Abdullah the Butcher
finger bang videos. I don't know, man. Like, I think Dan Slott, I think whoever writes Spider-Man is usually shit on.
Yeah.
Steve Wack is shit on because he was involved with Spider-Man. I think most of the people there.
Anybody involved with Spidey gets dumped on.
Always gets dumped on. So I think Dan Slott, who is the last mm-hmm. survivor of like the New Day stuff.
Yeah.
He's gonna get really, really shit on.
Yeah.
I think his run is friggin' fantastic. Yeah. Show me a better run in the last like 15 so years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's everybody who dumps on him on the internet are actually 60-year-old men who
believe that Dr. Octopus is gonna be Spider-Man for the rest of his life.
Who also think that the 1-to-121 run of Amazing Spider-Man was the be all end all of any Spidey stories of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, he'd sock him right in the mouth.
He'd sock him in the mouth and he'd pull off his mask with his tiny claws.
And then he'd have like a little problem because he left his costume in the dumpster and then he'd have to go get it later and his mom is Aunt May May Pet.
And then he smells like doo-doo.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Doo-doo. That's what you hear yeah. working at a comic store. If anybody's worked at a comic store and you have to deal with like the old timers, you know, like we feel for you because those are the dudes who kind of like just like do not adapt, you know.
Yeah.
And this is like a good example of it. Maybe this is where comics are headed. Maybe spoilers are where like fandom is supposed to head and people defend it and people are just like, you know, we didn't have spoilers when Kirby was around.
But the thing with spoilers, well, yeah, I mean that goes with any type of medium at this point where yeah. there's so much more output in terms of the fans,
mm-hmm.
a place for them to get together, places for that information to leak out, even if you're not involved in that type of media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that people are patient enough to not have spoilers around. Like, they wake up in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, they read Bleeding Cool, like, mm-hmm. oh, Bucky's got another robot arm. Like, cool, I don't need to read that comic now. It's like this maniac who reads Wikipedia mm-hmm. and feels he read the story.
But that's different. That's not a spoiler.
Yes. But there's a lot of people who tout, because everyone's an information junkie.
Mm.
So just having that weirdo spoiler information in your head, like, I'm such a smart person.
Oh, I know what
it
happened.
It has no relevance into, you know, what I actually read, but he's offended. He's walking away.
I think you offended him. He's actually got a phone call about your day tomorrow.
Oh, my day.
Your day tomorrow. He's going to know how your day tomorrow
is. Spoiled.
Yeah. He's going to be like, you want to know what happens to you tomorrow?
yellow reporter, Andrew Vazarian. Yellow journalism.
Yellow menace, Andrew.
Yellow. The yellow claw.
So
it's a part of claw.
Two things that I want to talk about. One, I think we've talked about it already. That Winter Soldier trailer, friggin' fantastic.
We did, and I'll continue. It. Yes, it was an awesome trailer. The merch for it is awesome. And there was a big spoiler about that. About the movie too,
not Bucky. Well, yeah, I read, thing, but whatever. You
that's
know
not what? A big surprise. If you read the story, it's not a surprise.
Yeah, like I can't get spoiled with the Marvel movies because you know
it all
like,
happened. Right?
Oh, it's because I want to see it. You know,
yeah.
Like when Thor 2 came out and everybody was like, oh, it's the collector at the end, man. It's gonna rock your brain in half. I'm like, I don't care. That's cool. Like I want to see it. Yeah. You know, I want to see Benicio del Toro as the collector.
Being weirdo.
It's not going to rock my brain in half. The first time they did it, it was Daredevil, right?
Yeah.
And that didn't rock my brain in half.
No.
Him, like,
rock your brain.
Colin Farrell. Guardians of the Galaxy trailer debuted on Jimmy Kimmel the other night. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let me tell you, that looks like a good movie right there.
It kind of tickled all my jubblies.
It did. Yeah, it did.
I think it's, like I said before, it's an incredibly hard movie to do.
Yeah.
I think a couple weeks ago we were talking about how I personally thought at that point it was the sinking feeling, probably from seeing Batista a lot, that it's like this movie is going to be a piece of garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did it. The trailer is magnificent. I think it's one of those things like when the first Iron Man trailer came out, we were like, yes.
Yeah.
Getting it.
Yeah.
They're getting it done. And they're putting it out there.
They're totally getting it done. It looks friggin' awesome. It does look great.
Yeah. I showed it to my mom. She loved it.
Yeah.
So that's another audience you're capturing. You have a crazy raccoon. Mm-hmm. Batista.
A tree.
Tree man.
Hot green girl.
Hot green guy.
What's the story with the raccoon?
He's a raccoon.
He's from another planet.
He was part of a race that was developed. They're like scientifically made warrior animals.
Did you see the trailer yet?
No.
That's awesome.
It's really
Batista good. Has weird skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's green. He's green. He's covered in tattoos.
Regardless of him having green on him or not, he has weird skin.
But that's the
hot dog skin.
That's the best casting for Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah,
that you could want.
He was awesome in for his 5 minutes in
Man
with the Iron Fist. Yeah,
yeah, he was cool in that. Terrible movie. Surprisingly awesome. Terrible movie.
Like, you know what we need about this movie? We need to RZA to narrate the whole thing at 0.5 words per second
with your wet mouth. And then the master was like, "No, come here." And
he took my hands.
And he loved her, and he saved her money all day. And was like, let's get out of here. I tried to do an okay RZA.
That is a pretty right on. You got the cadence down.
I couldn't do it. That's what killed. I was like, you know what? Russell Crowe in the movie was awesome.
Yes.
But
He's probably one of the best things about the film.
And it also made me wonder, like, why is Russell Crowe in this movie? I can understand everybody else in that movie.
I think he was probably on vacation somewhere, and he met RZA. He's like, you want to do this movie? And he's like, I'll do your movie.
I'll do your movie.
I'll do your movie.
I got this movie, and Batista shows up. In the movie. It's almost like a Stallone.
Yeah.
He's our new Stallone.
Who, RZA?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I want RZA. If RZA directed a new version of Rocky, I would watch it with him as Rocky.
Isn't he Arthur Ray doing this? They're doing the Apollo stuff. I think RZA has something to do with that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who's playing Giant Storm is playing
Apollo Creed.
Apollo Creed. You know, the new Apollo, the Apollo Creed's like grandson or something.
Okay.
And he fights like Rocky's fetus.
Back
on the
in
stairs of Philadelphia.
Where were we? Yeah, so Guardians of the Galaxy looks awesome. John C. Reilly, I love John C. Reilly. I'm kind of getting sick of him on the tax commercials. Because
is he? I don't watch commercials anymore.
There's a he's just commercial free.
I just
like put your fingers in your ears.
No. I watch everything on online now.
There's
I get like an Enterprise commercial, and that's it.
It's tax season, so there's all these TurboTax commercials, and John C. Reilly narrates all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I heard him, I was like, this is very charming. I love John C. Reilly. But there's like 40 of these friggin' things now. And I'm a little sick of his voice, but it was nice seeing him in the Guardians trailer.
And weird thing also is that in the beginning, the black dude who's the Pursuer, I think, Korath the Pursuer.
Yeah.
He's surrounded by Sicarians.
Mm-hmm.
I would not know this unless they had a
big thing about it. Yeah.
But hopefully this is all leading up to Planet Hulk, even though they said they're not going to do another Hulk movie anytime soon.
Yeah, no, it's going to happen.
I hope so.
I like Chris Pratt's casting as Star-Lord, especially kind of throwing that in there with, like, even in the trailer, that little bit of humor where he's like, who are you? Like, put your hands down. Star-Lord.
Yeah.
They're like, who are you?
And the soundtrack, the Uga Chaga.
That was awesome. Yeah.
It was good. It was a really well put out, not a word of Bradley Cooper's voice in it. It was awesome.
It's gonna be a good sci-fi action adventure.
Yeah,
I think
it's gonna. And also, you know, with Star-Lord, you have like your Han Solo quota with that.
Absolutely. And the marketing is gonna go through the roof on this thing.
Yes. Well, they had to do this because they had Toy Fair this week, and they had all this Guardians of the Galaxy merchandise that no one has any idea what to do with. So we got the trailer out now.
Who is this
raccoon and tree man?
Well, the raccoon.
Hey, John, I would check your text message.
Oh yeah. I'll check my text messages.
Are you sending him...
I don't have any text messages.
Are you sending him raunchy texts?
I hope you...
Are you sending me texts also?
I don't think you text anybody.
Maybe I did not.
Go check
your Facebook. All right.
I'll check all my social media right now. Tweet? Tweet me. So in lieu of all this Guardians of the Galaxy stuff, they dropped the announcement of Fantastic Four today.
Right. The new cast of the new Fantastic Four movie, which is, I can't even remember anybody's name.
No. So you've got this little Jewy kid playing Reed Richards.
Real nice.
Hey, man, he's one of me.
Mm-hmm.
What's this dude's name? Michael B. Jordan's playing Giant Storm, Black Giant Storm, Kate Mara.
Why can't he just be Giant Storm, bro?
Because he's Black Giant Storm. I love the guy, but he's Black Giant Storm. Kate Mara is playing Sue Storm.
Uh-huh.
Jamie Bell is playing the Thing. Bang, you know, skinny British guy is definitely when I think of Ben Grimm.
Skinny. Yeah, but you know that's going to be all CG.
Yeah, but even before, like even, you know, were they going to make him into a 40-year-old man?
See, here's the weird thing about this movie is that you know it's going to be directed very, very well.
Why do you say that?
Isn't it the dude who did Chronicle?
Yeah, but that was a, see, I love Chronicle. Mm-hmm. But it also was a you know, point of view camera movie.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of the, you know, it was just like Blair Witch and such. I've never seen this guy do a real movie.
Mm-hmm.
From what they're showing me so far and what they're saying, like, you know, the Giant Storm and Sue Storm, they're adopted kids. Most of it's going to take place in high school. This is not what I want.
Do you want adult?
I want grown-up Fantastic Four stuff.
Would you rather it be a more Kirby-esque thing where Reed is like 30 and Sue Storm is like 17?
Yes.
And
I want all that.
And they fall in love and Johnny's like 15-year-old kid.
I think part of the fascination with Fantastic Four, especially the early stuff, and what kept them going for so long was the weird stuff. What happened down there?
He's kicking me. He's been kicking me in the shin for the past 5 minutes.
Miles Teller's playing.
Yeah.
He's the really ugly Jewish guy.
Okay.
I hate this guy. This guy is everywhere. He's getting so much work.
What was he in?
He started out in Project X, that point of view camera movie about a party.
For anybody that's tuning in right now that may have been a carryover from the last show, Jonathan hates anybody who's famous.
Yes.
If you're famous and you're not...
Want to talk about Shia LaBeouf for an hour?
If you're not famous and you're not Matthew McConaughey or Woody Harrelson, John is going to take a dump on your face.
Yeah. Yeah. You got it. In your mouth.
So you hate all these dudes.
I love Michael B. Jordan. He was Wallace in my favorite show, The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Mara is awesome. She was great in House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jimmy Bell. I've seen him in some cool stuff. I just saw him in Filth. It was awesome.
But you don't want him to be a Thing.
No, I don't, this is not what I want.
But he's Ben Grimm. I think the end of the movie is going to be them transforming.
Which is so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to sit through another origin movie about the Fantastic Four?
Not really.
Do you want to wait to the end of the movie to see them transform into people?
My ideal Fantastic Four character, Fantastic Four movie, is jumping right into it and honestly dealing with your
Absolutely.
Origin. My perfect origin for a Fantastic Four movie, a quick panel viewing in the opening credits. You get the gist of it, pages are flapping, Kirby stuff, get some cool stuff in there, and then you just get into it. Reed's working on something that's going to eventually possibly destroy the universe.
Yeah.
Sue Storm's being ignored. Ben Grimm's knocking stuff over. Johnny Storm pulls up in a convertible.
Awesome.
Gets a ticket and then flies away.
Awesome. You know? Perfect.
Right?
Why can't we do that?
Hollywood, let's go. You heard it here first.
You know what's dumb also? I was thinking about this the other day. Because during this week also, they had that big interview you posted on Facebook with Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
About Days of Future Past, the new X-Men movie. It sounds so bad. And like his explanations towards like, you know, I found a new way to like look at speed characters. And it's like when you do like a shutter speed. I'm like, yeah, you're doing the thing that everyone's done with speed since the Flash TV show.
Right.
And... you know, he's talking so much about the future and how the time travel stuff he's doing in a weird way. He has like, I had to consult James Cameron because he's the authority on time travel at this point.
Oh, because of Terminator?
Because of Terminator. Yeah,
great.
It's like, before you start asking me questions, is he naked? Is there lightning around him? You got time travel right.
When you had Kyle Reese coming back from the future, did you think he was going to meet John Connor's mom? That's how it goes in my head. I don't even know if... I wish Bryan Singer talked like that.
I hope so. But he, you know, he's going on about how that a lot of the time travel stuff is kind of fixed the continuity issues
yeah.
with like all the movies. And I started thinking about, you know what, because they're working towards a Fantastic Four X-Men crossover, because they're going to try and milk that those two properties.
Because that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But you know what I probably think this is going to happen? They're probably going to have like Franklin Richards in like the future.
Okay.
Or I'm giving them too much benefit of the doubt that actually.
I think so. I think you're, there's, you know, usually right on the money, but like I think just throwing the kid in there is a little.
You don't think he's going to show up as and with Ahab and Apocalypse?
I want them to do. I would love the actual X-Men movie to end with the Sentinels turning into Galactus. There's a crossover.
Okay.
There's a crossover right there. How could you look at if you were the guy in charge and you were like, oh man, these Avengers movies are freaking awesome. Oh, the Iron Man's so good. Captain America's so good. All right, get Bryan Singer on the phone and let's just, you know what? Let's just smash 12
everything.
Years of X-Men franchise together into one movie.
Let me stop you right there. Is Wolverine going to be in it?
Yes.
Make it happen.
That's it.
Make it so.
And the fact that, you know, like really just, again, it's a movie. You can't really be pissed off at it. But the fact that you had the Juggernaut as such a throwaway character in the X-Men franchise was a little ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, having him not be the fact that dude's Professor X's weird half-brother makes for like such great storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, and just to have him show up and it's kind of weird, man.
Yeah.
I'll go see it. I'll be disappointed. This is one thing I'm sure I'm going to be disappointed in. Usually I'm pretty upbeat about like
which one?
Oh, maybe it's going to be good. X-Men Day of Future Past.
I know it's I'm not seeing it in the theater.
You ready for the disappointment?
I'm fully committed to disappointment. I've signed the papers on disappointment.
But in DC nudes, is that where we're going next?
What you got?
Gotham.
Oh yeah. Mm. All right, so there's a new, what channel's going to be on? WB?
I don't know. FX?
Hey, WB or FX or UPN, if that's still around.
Is WB still a network?
Is UPN still a network?
No. I know that.
WB is still around.
It's My 9 now.
It's My 9.
Yeah, Channel 9 is My 9.
Back to My 9.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
I'm pretty sure it's coming on WB alongside like the Green Arrow stuff, because Green Arrow's on WB, right?
The CW.
CW. See, that's not fair. Cartoon World.
Right? You're living in the late 90s, man.
There was
no more Dancing Frog, man.
Is Marlon Wayans in space?
Yes. He's actually a G.I. Joe.
He is. Thank goodness. So doing a show, Gotham. Originally, it was supposed to be with no Batman whatsoever, or no Bruce Wayne. It was just going to be like Jim Gordon and all the secondary characters.
Yeah.
But now we have a young Bruce Wayne. We have an Alfred. We have Donald Logue as a young Harvey Bullock. Love it. Angel awesome. Donald Logue. Mm-hmm. Big up to Terriers on Netflix right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Jada Pinkett Smith coming on as a new character, a gangster, called...
Uzi Winks.
Fish Mooney?
Yeah, it was Fish Mooney.
Fish Mooney.
It's kind of interesting because that, we talked about it before, the headlines are like, who's Fish Mooney?
Yeah.
And apparently she's like this Gotham-y underground villain who may or may not have mind control powers.
Is that what you got?
That's what I read. Man,
this yellow reporting that you do.
Yeah. I'm the yellow menace. It's interesting how, like, I was sold at Donald Logue. You don't have to give me any more than Donald Logue being Harvey Bullock.
The guy for Gordon's pretty good, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind Logue as Gordon. Like, kind of like a paunchier Gordon.
Paunchier. Before he started walking a lot?
Yeah, like a different like take on Gordon. Who says he has to be like thin and like road weary?
DC Comics.
He's like big.
Well, strapping on a man.
But Logue's going to be incredible in it, man.
Yeah. I think the show is going to be god awful. Because really, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Did we watch Smallville?
No.
And they're going with the same approach for this?
Yeah.
No, thank you. If they said on the blueprints of it, we are directly trying to do an awesome version of a televised Gotham Central, I'd be 100% committed.
Yeah.
And try and just like work around just a young Bruce Wayne, because young Bruce Wayne is going to get real boring real fast.
Yeah.
And then you're going to see some crappy like Batman costume show up on like the last episode.
Yeah. It's a black t-shirt.
It's a black t-shirt and a ski mask.
It's a black t-shirt and he just closes his eyes and spray paints a black line across his face.
That's what he does now, right?
I'm here. I think so.
I don't got a mask. Do you have any spray paint I can put in my eyes?
You want to wear this Zorro costume?
No. My
eyes
are burning.
It's kind of interesting, but why? Like, it brings you the question, that's the why question, which is like, why do you, Marvel is guilty of it too. Why create these new characters when you already have such an established universe of amazing characters?
Well, that's the age old question with what we've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, because, Marvel, I think, has the right idea with what they're doing with their Netflix deal, where they're taking a lot of these secondary characters they can play with. But why not take that same approach and utilize your Dr. Lights, your Suicide Squads,
your Booster Gold, your Blue Beetle,
your Jonah Hexes,
your Woozy Winks,
your Captain Marvels, your Big Cheeses.
I'd love to see a Plastic Man HBO series.
Sure. Starring Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Wouldn't there be Woody Harrelson would have to be Woozy Winks.
Yes.
Eel O'Brien, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man. Robbed his bank. I could totally talk about True Detective for the rest of the episode, but
I'm okay,
but I won't.
Next week, we will.
Yeah.
How
many episodes is it going?
Eight.
It going 10?
Yeah.
So there's two more. Yeah. Three more.
Three more.
Yeah. Awesome. Go ahead. What else do we got?
I was perusing the internet the other day. And I stumbled upon a preview book of the stuff that Marvel's coming out with the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Elektra, Moon Knight, the Black Widow series that's out now. Mm-hmm. Did I say Elektra? I said Elektra.
Yes, you did. That was the first one you said.
First one I said. The new run of Secret Avengers. It was like Marvel preview. You've been reading this, and probably in the regular books.
Yeah.
They all have that incredible, like, flat Hawkeye look to it, which is wonderful, because this is Axel Alonso's Marvel. This is the stuff he succeeds at.
Yep.
I love the fact that they're slowly, it's kind of like also, you know, burgeoning on like the Image territory.
Yeah.
A lot of like almost like indie style approach to handling some of the characters. Moon Knight
love
looks
it.
Incredible.
Yes.
With Warren Ellis and Declan Shelvey. I think.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Try again.
Black Widow looks great. Black Widow has been great.
Yeah.
Elektra looks fantastic. I would never pick it up if it wasn't for the art.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that that's what they're utilizing their second tier for. It seems that they're fixing that shelf a bit, and not just putting out like a cookie cutter, you know, shit book that just like has like a new writer on it that you don't know, and just a Dark Hawk approach. Like, here's the world we're introducing.
Yeah.
You think established characters are really gonna, maybe an alias way of approaching these characters.
Mm.
I like it.
I like it too, man. It's kind of coming through fruition and in like an interesting way about like the just like the art style that I have. Marvel is kind of like there's you know what, there's books out there that are just like you said, like this is a shit book. My I hate saying this, but my shit book of the week, New Warriors.
Yeah,
I didn't like it.
Why? Do you never had an affinity towards New Warriors? Right?
Number one, I never had an affinity towards New Warriors. Number two, like after what these characters have been through in the past, like.
Oh, the nightmare
of continuity, right?
Like Speedball.
It was like the most boring book.
Oh, I like.
And that's not a knock on Chris Yost. Chris Yost is a great writer, but it was just like kind of like art was a little mediocre, and the story was, you know, I wanted more. And plus, I like Nova. I like the new Nova, and I kind of like what they're doing with him. So I was kind of like really
Spider-Man
interested.
Space.
Yeah, like I was kind of like really interested in that whole thing of like, oh, we're recruiting you, we're getting the band back together, blah blah blah. And it was just like a kind of lackluster first issue. Didn't do it for me.
I wasn't crazy about it.
Yeah.
I'm very hopeful for the book because I love New Warriors. Mm-hmm. I think I grew up heavily on New Warriors. One of the greatest storylines of all time was when everything went to, it was an alternate reality where I think Ramatut took over. The Sphinx took over, and every character, it was like an Elseworld of all the characters being Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And they were awesome reworks by Mark Bagley. I like the book. I hope we see more of that in this type of book. I doubt it. But I have an affinity. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I don't think that it's a very good book.
Yeah, it's not. It's not the.
Was that my least favorite book of the week?
Yeah,
I don't know.
My favorite book of the week was Daredevil.
What a book!
Did you read it?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I think my favorite book of the week was Be Pure D, but I can't talk about that.
Why not? Oh, because I'm so behind.
Yeah. Eventually, I want you to
catch up. It's like this big now,
dude. Like honestly, like the last like couple months, even longer than that, the last 3 or 4 months of BPRD and like what they've been doing with the universe is so cohesive and so awesome.
Yeah,
that it literally is like my first read now. Like this week BPRD was my first read. It is like it, and it's big, awesome stuff.
Is it the best book on the shelf right now?
I think the Mignola stuff is probably the best stuff out there.
Yeah,
in terms of a universe that isn't Marvel and DC and incredibly cohesive and run by a bunch of the art pool that they have in that group is incredible.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I did read the last issue of Hellboy from last week. It was awesome. It was great. Yeah. But it's so far outside of the BPRD continuity right now.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's going to lead into like a crescendo where he shows up again.
You hope.
I gotta catch up.
It could go against that, all that. Anyway.
I really enjoyed Uncanny X-Men from this week.
I dug that. I dug...
Chris Bacala's art fits into that kind of, you know, he was always like such a unique artist, and he fits in even more now into like the current stable of like these amazing Marvel artists who are bringing like such an interesting kind of flair to the books, you know.
He's one of the forerunners when that comes down to like the really abstract art. Mm-hmm. I mean, Generation X was really, really ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And I love that he's still around because he was a guy who was shit on for a long period of time, too.
It's true. That was one of my favorite books when I was younger.
If you go back, I think it was more of the art than the actual writing on that book.
I like the characters, man.
I like them, too. I was really engaged in the Generation X characters.
Like Mondo.
Mondo was great. The one issue he was around. Skin. The black kid.
Yep.
What was his name? He was awesome. He could channel the people's energy.
It was in Skin. Skin and Husk.
Husk was still around.
And they killed Skin, right? They killed like everyone.
They killed Skin. Yeah, they killed most of the characters. Mm-hmm. Empath was like lurking around.
Right, yeah.
Emma's still around.
Was it Echo or was it?
Which one?
The teenage black kid.
No, not Echo. Start with a C, I think, like Cypher or something. It's like something like Cypher. Okay. Sync.
There you go.
It was good. It was good. It was like it was a throwback to like young kids because that was the first time we've got teenagers in X-Men in years at that point.
Yeah,
because there's always like you had New Mutants and now they have graduated to X-Force.
We're X-Force, bro. Yeah,
they're all tough, you know, muscular people.
But it's funny because like that continuity always gets flipped on its ear, especially with Cannonball and Sunspot being on the Avengers. And when you read them on X-Force or any other books, you're like, oh, these guys are grown up now. But when you read them on Avengers, you're like, these guys are like 23.
Oh, yeah.
24. Same thing with like Speedball and Captain Vance Astro in the New Warriors books. We're like, how did they get de-aged?
Yeah.
Because Speedball, like in my head, before it was Civil War, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when everything went bad for him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Civil War happened and the New Warriors accidentally blew up Stanford, Connecticut and killed 600 people, that to me was the New Warriors as like kind of washed up adults almost.
Yeah.
You know, where they were like in their late 20s, they didn't really make it in the superhero
game.
They
did reality TV.
They're doing reality TV and nobody really likes them. And they're just kind of like schlubby, maybe like say mid 20s, right? And then all of a sudden, like Robbie Baldwin becomes Penance, who was like this leathery
pain maniac, Nine Inch Nails, Marilyn Manson.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he was
joining a team of murderers on Thunderbolts.
Right. And he was like all messed up and it was like, wow, this is like an adult kind of like who knew Speedball was going to turn into this guy.
But then he found a smile again.
Right. And now he's acting like a high school kid going to get some soda pop at the corner store after class, you know?
Yeah.
And Marvel does that to you where they'll flip it and they'll kind of like, they'll make their secondary characters a little younger than
what they're supposed to.
They previously were hinted at, you know? Because in X-Force, like, all those dudes, like, to me, were just, like, older.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the problem with X-Force because it was, like...
The 90s.
Because it worked at the time. I mean, when the New Mutants stuff started, when Cable arrived and they started going to Rob Liefeld art, it was, like, nothing you've ever seen before. It was like, yes, this is what I want. I want maturity from these kid characters I didn't care about before.
Right.
And then, like, they did so much crap with Cable. It was like, he's immortal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to be the greatest hero ever lived. Right. Cable came back in time to raise up Cannonball to the level. And he became this, like, Cyclops-like leader.
Right.
And so when you do see him in Sunspot just, like, hamming it up. Like, Sunspot at one point was a guy named Rainfire.
Right, yeah.
He was, like, murdering people with fire blood. It's a long way. It's come
really,
a long way.
It's really nuts. Hey, you gotta stop dropping stuff. I know, man.
My cell phone does not want to stay here.
It's really interesting how they do that, especially with comics in the 90s. If you go back and read them, and like it's these characters that once again are kind of like they're kind of being thrust back into like a little bit of innocence.
Yeah,
there's a lot of sexual innuendo in 90s comics.
Yeah, it's a lot of sexual innuendo in Uncanny X-Men.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone wants a bang in that book.
All the X-Men books were sex. Just like somebody coming out of the shower.
Yeah.
You know, like
Storm's hanging out naked in a garden.
Right. But like, you know what? Like a character like Storm is like I'm going to use the word timeless to describe that because they've nailed her as having an ambiguous age. Yeah. You know, you don't really know how Storm. Well, she's older than 30, but she's not that old.
You think she's older than 30 in terms of comics?
I think she's supposed to be like maybe 33.
We always disagree about this. I'll give her 33. So how old do you think Cyclops is? 33?
Cyclops now?
Yeah.
35.
Wolverine? Well, no. I can't do it. Then how old do you think like young Cyclops is?
Young Cyclops 16. Yeah. I'm saying 15, 16 because that if you...
What Colossus? Second breed.
Colossus I always felt was a little younger.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I always felt he was going to be the like kind of older one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll put him at 34.
Kitty Pryde. She was the baby.
Kitty Pryde now?
Yeah.
Kitty Pryde now at 27.
I think they actually were on record with her age at one point.
Yeah.
I think they said like 25, 26 with her.
Okay.
It's always less than what we think. Like what our projections on their ages are.
Right.
The perception of their maturity and everything like that, I think is always older than what Marvel wants it to be.
Okay. See, in my head, the all new X-Men, which are the young X-Men versus the current X-Men right now are, you have, let's say Cyclops is like 35 or 34, arguably. Mm-hmm. Right. His young self is like 15. So that's a 20-year difference, right? Mm-hmm. Which kind of explains how, you know, they're coming from like 1994 and
big time.
And that's like the technology gap of them being like, what? Like a soda doesn't cost 35 cents anymore, bro. You know? Yeah. Because in 1994, like shit was still like, you know, you didn't have iPhones or anything like that, and it wasn't like crazy. I mean, it was crazy, but
lucky if you had a beeper,
right? You know, so like it's like that disconnect makes sense for me in my brain, and that's what I'm trying to put together. Beast, I always thought was older. Beast is like to Cyclops' current 34. Beast is like 37.
Yeah,
yeah. Same thing with Tony Stark. Tony Stark is like older. Pym is a little older.
But you want to believe that. I think in my heart of hearts, if I was a guy, either one of us were writing those books, that's the way we'd be geared towards their thinking. I think that they still believe that everyone is monumentally in their 20s.
That's ridiculous.
Like, even like Tony Stark is like 28 years old. Like, maybe 29. He's on the cusp.
Yeah.
Reed Richards, 26 years old.
No. Reed is, he's a family man. So like
he's 40.
Yeah.
I would say he's like 40, 42.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I think they've de-aged them also. Because I think that they, for a while, they were really comfortable with the FF being in their middle ages. You know, Ben Grimm, he turns human, he's like a middle-aged man, except he's Diesel.
Right.
But like Sue Storm was the mother, she has two kids. You're okay with the idea that she's not a 30-year-old who popped out two kids 15 years ago.
Right.
But I think they've scaled back on that. I think they've gradually made them look, you know, like Doctor Strange should be an older man.
Right. Which they do a good job. Doctor Strange's like 45.
Yeah, in my reality, I think he's like in his 50s.
How old do you think Cyclops is?
Cyclops, he's like a Batman. Like, I think he's like a 30, 33.
Okay.
Like, somewhere between 30 and 33.
My ideal age for Batman is 34, 35.
Yeah.
Just like, I'll keep that.
Not 27.
You know, Superman, perpetually 30, perpetually 29 years old.
Yeah.
Just hasn't hit the wall yet.
Batman, I always believe, I think for the idea of him as a father figure and like Robin, he needs to be like 30s and upwards.
Right.
I think he needs to be always in that gap of 30 and 40.
DC was always good with that as far as like...
Before,
like with the wacky age stuff. But Marvel has always been really up and down. Like Peter Parker is maybe a good example of kind of like the progression of how old this guy is.
Yeah.
Peter Parker, in my head now, 33 years old.
Yeah.
We're the same age.
Yeah.
That's it, you know?
Yeah.
And then...
30, 35.
Yeah.
I give him... You know, 33, I'll say is the cap on him.
You know, because he's like...
He's still boyish.
In terms of like his career, he went from a photographer to
high school student,
college student, photographer, scientist, and now
self-published author. His book of webs, starting his own business now.
Right.
Married. He's a divorcee.
Right. So, like, yeah, 33, 34.
Lost everyone in his family and then burned back. Made a deal with the devil. That's 33 years old, bro.
White glove Frank Castle.
White Castle.
40 years old.
40 years old.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Frank?
Yeah.
Now in like regular Marvel continuity? Yeah. I'd say.
Late 30s.
You know what? I can never like let go of the Ennis 60-year-old Punisher.
Yeah.
Because that's like the ideal. Like, you know, you maintain the origin that way. That's just like such a vital part of it, and I can't separate it. I think the Mark Waid version was, maybe before. They drew him very young. Mm-hmm. He looked gnarly, but he was like, that's like 38, 39.
Yeah. Daredevil, Matt Murdock, 36.
Yeah, he's seen a lot of shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's one character who's like, whoa, you've lived a lifetime reading his misadventures of just like his screwed up love lives.
Yeah.
You know, his best friend's dying of cancer right now.
He's the worst case scenario for Spider-Man. Like, he lives a life like Spider-Man, like secret identity,
right,
city figure, you know, icon for a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But really just the worst things have ever happened to Daredevil.
Right.
And he's been alongside like the worst people, like Punisher, Bullseye, Kingpin,
right.
Electro.
He's a street guy.
Yeah.
And also like the fact that his greatest enemy is just like that little demon that's inside him.
Yeah.
That lets him make these weird bad decisions sometimes.
Awful decisions.
So it's kind of like an interesting thing. I forgot where we're going with this, with the age thing.
We were just talking.
Yeah. All right, let's start wrapping it up. What did we not cover?
I dropped my phone, so I lost all my notes.
What did we learn today?
Well, we got some the DC. This is was it The Future's End?
Yeah. So they made an announcement that the solicitations came out for, I believe, April or May, which is the beginnings of the summer big blockbuster stuff. So we got to see where DC is going and where Marvel's going.
Yeah.
DC is going to be doing a 5 years later story, which is what they did a few years ago, and to really make success. There was some cool stuff that came out of it, some very bad stuff that came out of it. Sure, we got a lot of bad stuff. But the main thing it's going towards is, what was it, Future's End?
Mm-hmm.
Future's End, which is what we've been waiting for, and we've been talking about a lot, is like the Wildstorm making a comeback big time in DC Universe.
Yeah, it's a big no thank you.
Grifter is on the number one issue.
Like, oh, really?
He is the focus of it, space stuff in the background. Full-blown Wildstorm.
Tell me more.
That's all we know. All we know is that it's going to be filling in the gaps of the 5 years later stuff. Weekly book alongside the Batman Eternal weekly book. That I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. You know what? I'll pick up both of them because the team on Future's End is awesome.
Who's the...
It's Lemire, Jurgens, Giffen.
And
a couple of the dudes, like solid writers are behind it, you know?
Yeah, but we've seen solid writers behind some crap also.
It's true. I'm hoping against hope for this one. It looks like the first, that first issue kind of looks cool. Or whatever teaser image they had with Batman Beyond in the background. And
well,
like,
we didn't even talk about it from last week because of Batman. Aside from the spoilers showing up, who cares about that?
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that Harper's Row is going to eventually become a partner to
a bird like character.
Yeah, Bluebird.
Bluebird. Which is cool because they didn't go with the whole Robin thing. But like, I think that is a really good move. To kind of like, and I think it's also good that they didn't throw her into like another Robin costume and make it kind of dopey. You know?
Yeah.
Like this way, like she gets to keep her own identity. The name is kind of cool.
It's all right.
I like how.
I'm still reeling from Catbird.
I like how.
Which, by the way, that story sucks.
Yeah.
Did you read any of that stuff?
No.
The Gotham.
Gotopia?
Gotopia?
No, I got this. I had the second issue. I didn't read it.
What a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Piece of garbage. John Layman is part of that.
To you.
Yeah, I know.
You from the last show wrote it.
Yeah. And I'm unhappy about it.
I liked the last issue of Batman. Scott Snyder can do no wrong with the Batman stuff in my it's so good. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me of the Batman comics from our youth, where you just couldn't like it was so pure like Batman stuff that there wasn't like anything too heady involved with it. It was just a good story.
Well, I remember when I used to buy like Batman off of like the spinner racks at like you know, delis and Tiamos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like a good chunk of my childhood was faced with the many deaths of Batman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like that was and the Batman at that point was so crazy. There's not a lot of Neil Adams, a lot of what's his name, who did The Death of Robin.
Jim Aparo.
Jim Aparo, yeah. Like, really crazy covers, and you didn't, like, you could walk into every issue was, mm-hmm. like, oh, Villain of the Week stuff, but it felt like crazy, crazy Batman stuff.
Yeah.
I think that really dynamic, frightening look that Batman has now with Capullo and mm-hmm. Snyder is a big, you're right, like, a big throwback to that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, all that, like, the Norm Brayfogle.
Yeah.
You know, he's fighting, like, KG Beast.
KG Beast, yeah. Like, all that stuff. Like, Nine Knights of the Beast.
Yeah.
But on the other side of this coin was the Marvel stuff. Mm-hmm. They're doing this story, Original Sin, where the Watcher's killed. He's assassinated.
Yeah.
He saw something and somebody had taken him out, and Nick Fury gets all the heroes together to uncover secrets of the Marvel Universe that we've never known before.
Oh, man.
Ever. I'm okay with that. I'm always happy about the Marvel stuff.
I feel like that was the teaser for when, remember with the miniseries when S.H.I.E.L.D. came out, the Hickman miniseries?
Yeah, it's been this is what we learn every year.
Yeah, that's like the teaser. That was like the teaser for it, where like you had like the really interesting images of like, oh, Galactus' helmet's here, and the Wolverine's metal stuff, and this guy, Silver Surfer surfboard.
I think what they're yeah. I think what they're doing is this is their Thanos storyline,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Or at least Thane, the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
I for some reason I read the solicits and I saw the covers and there's so much Nick Fury, which I'm very happy about.
Yeah.
It's old school Fury. I think they're really going to put Fury in a place of being the new Watcher.
Okay,
like in the Moon Tower, like doing like Watcher stuff.
See, that's really interesting. I like that.
Because it's like there's a MacGuffin called like the Eye in this mm-hmm. stuff, and just pop it in that empty yeah. socket. Let's do it.
That makes perfect sense because he's the ultimate spy, and the ultimate spy
exactly.
needs to know everything, every little bit of information, and who's the best candidate for a job. That would be a really cool ending. I'm still hoping against hope that X-51 is going to be the Watcher with like the Earth X stuff. That was my.
Can we get Jim Krueger on the show?
Let's
talk to him about.
I think
about
we could.
Earth X.
I think we may be able to. I'm going to reach out.
Let's do it.
What's up, you know?
I'll gush over that book.
Oh, same here.
That is the Bible of how to do incredibly long Elseworlds.
Alternate future.
And give homage to everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything.
Belasco, bro.
Belasco Nightcrawler will go down history as the greatest story.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Did you read Amazing X-Men this week?
No.
Oh, my God. I got teary-eyed.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got really teary-eyed in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Can I spoil a little bit for you?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. There's a scene. There's nothing, like, major, yeah. but there's a scene where, you know, the last issue, Wolverine gets dropped into an icy tundra.
Yes.
And he's got no healing factor, and he's trudging through. And, like, near, like, the middle of the book, he's, like, dying, and he can't make it. I gotta get out of here. And then you hear, like, in the background, like, this, Logan, you need to get up, and you need to drink all this whiskey. And the next panel is like an. Emma Guinness has been really great in that book.
Yeah.
I usually shit all over this guy. It's just Wolverine clutching to like a smiling Nightcrawler, like freezing. And he was just like, oh man, these guys are best friends.
Yeah.
I love this crap.
That's his boy.
I miss the Colossus Nightcrawler Wolverine stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of which, did you read Wolverine number one from, I think it was last week? Or
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
I liked it.
Yeah.
And a weird, for some reason, I'm a big sucker for Wolverine number ones. And I'm always like, yes, this is going to be it. This they got it.
Whoa, he's got claws
you
and
like,
gun.
You didn't like it.
It's all right.
You don't like the Wolverine with the gun and like a bad guy? He's like, throw away bad guys. I love it.
It's a weird book.
You know what it is? I really am kind of engaged in Wolverine with no healing factor.
Yeah.
Because I love, like, remember, like, back in the day when they did, like, the Wolverine Brood storyline,
yes.
when he's, like, the only one alive, he's infected, and,
right.
like, you're really getting worried about this guy, and, like, the Hellfire Club stuff. I like him with a little bit of a weakness.
Yeah.
He's been such an invincible maniac.
Yeah, it's true.
No way to his stories.
Yeah. I hope, it's a good age to be a comic fan.
I hope so. 33?
I think, in terms of comics now, yeah. you know, like, there's so much good stuff out there. There's also a lot of crap, but not so much crap as there is good stuff.
Mm.
DC, you know what, it is what it is. I hate using that term, but...
It is what
know,
it is.
Yeah. It's every lumpy term. It is what it is. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail.
Wait and see. Just
wait and see.
Don't hold your breath, kid.
I really hope they get their act together.
Yeah,
because there's a whole lot of nothing happening.
Yeah. All right, on that sad note about DC Comics, this has been another episode of Behind the Counter. I was your host, Rich Stamboli.
I'm not.
Good night.